Would you pray with me? We thank you, Father, for this day, your great love. Ask you to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I'm sure some of you have heard of him, was a German pastor who was murdered by the Nazi regime, some believe out of spite, just before the end of World War II. Dietrich Bonhoeffer maintained true to the word of God in spite of the many who caved in the face of the political and social pressure during that time. But he stayed true to God's word, pointing out the injustices of Hitler and his regime. He tells us this concerning original sin. He says, the Bible does not seek to impart information about the origin of evil, but to witness its character as guilt and as the unending burden that humankind bears. Sometimes as we study our Bibles, we raise more questions than we find answers to. A study of Genesis raises many questions that not only are not answered in Genesis, but some that are not answered or even addressed in all of Scripture. This can also be true for the Bible in general. Some examples from our text this morning. What is the origin of evil? How do we know that it was Satan who was speaking through the serpent? What knowledge of good and evil would they gain by eating the fruit? Wouldn't they already have to have some knowledge of good and evil to make a decision to obey God? What would have happened if they had eaten of the tree of life? And how do we know that they didn't? What happened to the tree of life? What does it mean they knew they were naked after eating from the tree? Weren't they intelligent beings and would have known that they were naked before? So what does it mean? Did Eve change God's command when she answered the serpent? Was the serpent itself good or evil? Overwhelmed yet? Was the serpent a creature of darkness? Why would God allow any of this to happen? Why were they not restricted from eating the tree of life? Did they eat from the tree of life? What happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? How can we be responsible for Adam's sin? And how can I make an intelligent decision if I do not have all of the information? Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Five basic lessons, probably more than that. Those are the ones I've outlined for myself. Five basic lessons early that we learn in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, reading in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. First early lesson in Genesis, we are no match for the schemes of the devil. We are no match for the schemes of the devil. We need to make sure, and we're going to see here, rely on the clear, plain, written truth of the Word of God. We are no match for the devil. The devil is a supernatural being. Now, it's interesting, and what I did, my method, I always do this, but I pushed it even more this week. I tried to first contain myself to these seven verses. What are these seven verses saying? And that was very profitable. That was very profitable. And we see things come out with this that, for one, the serpent in itself, because we can automatically picture, what do we picture? That evil serpent. Isn't that what you have in your, that's what I have in my mind. That evil serpent, and then when you see pictures of it, and it's got the eyes, and it's got the forked tongue. But was the serpent evil yet at this time? Had sin come into this world? The serpent was one of God's creatures, and God proclaimed his creation was what?
Good.
So this is a little bit different maybe than we normally look at this text. But the devil, Satan, did use the serpent. Now, we can have questions that are raised that, you know, some people will say that maybe all of the animal kingdom spoke before the fall in some way or another. I can't say that that's true or not, that the serpent spoke or not before. But see, this is what I'm saying, and I wanted to overwhelm you with questions because we're going to make a point with that. That was that possible? Well, we don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that it could not have happened or it did not happen. We just don't know. But what we do know is that, well, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And now what we know from other texts is that this was the devil through this. But he comes to the woman with a question. And he just wants to clarify. He just wants to clarify, well, what did God really say? But see, the problem was is he didn't just want to clarify. That was his wedge. That was his beginning. We are no match for the schemes of the devil. Verses 2 and 3, we must always obey God's clearly stated truth. Okay? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat, well, the snake had said, did God actually say you shall eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So at this point on, and even though I said it, I went outside of my principles beginning here. Right now we just know it's a serpent that's talking. Right now, yet we do know later, we do know from other verses, and we'll see that develop. But right now, we don't know that it's the devil. We don't know that it's Satan. We know that it's a talking serpent, don't we? And this is what I'm saying. They're no match. And in one sense, Adam and Eve did not have a chance. Don't take that further. I'm not saying that they were not guilty of their sin. But as we put them, we put ourselves in their place. They had never dealt with sin. We have no recorded instance that they had ever even dealt with temptation. They are living in utopia, in paradise, in complete transparency before the Creator. Can you imagine? Now, here's another little interesting thing that I've said. You know, God came walking with them every evening, but we don't actually have record of that. We're going to have, he did come in the evening here in later verses. We're not going to get to that today, but that very well could have happened. But these things, all these questions that come out, but let's come back and see just what the Bible is telling us. Because what Satan wants to do, he wants to raise questions to her. What he's going to do, he's going to undermine the goodness of God. It's very, very clear. We can't miss that in this text. That was his wedge. He gets Eve. Did God actually say? Now, was it pretty clear, the instruction about the eating or not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Pretty clear, wasn't it? But the serpent was more crafty than any of the other creatures. Eve had never, well, here we go too, as we break this down. Where's Adam? The serpent didn't talk to Adam, did he? Now, it seems pretty clear that there's a plural used, and then it says she gave it to her husband who was with her. So you've got Adam and Eve standing here, and you've got the serpent approaching. So we've got two people here. Now we know if two people can be there, Ron and Connie, and I can come up, and I'm kind of talking to both of you, but I can be like I'm talking to Ron. Well, this is what happened. Why did he choose the woman? Well, we don't know that. We don't have the answer to that, but he did. But here's a thought. In chapter 2, verse 9, if you want to turn back, chapter 2, verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden. No, wrong text. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Another discovery. I had a lot of them this week. Just coming back saying, what does the text say? Not the things that I think I already know or some of the things that I do know from other biblical passages, but what do I know? Who was not there when God gave the command? Eve was not there. Now, what we don't know is God could have communicated this at a different time. And here's what you have to understand about Scripture. God has the prophets of old write down the things that he wanted us to know for sure. And those have been faithfully passed for thousands of generations. There's other things. It's like with Christ. Let's just turn there briefly if you want. John 21, the very last verse. John 21, verse 25. Let's start with verse 24. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, all the things about the life of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, all these things. The disciple, this is John speaking, who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So we do have precedent. So we don't know, but from our account, what we do know is that where we have it recorded that Adam was there, Eve had not been created yet. She was not there. So we're saying, well, why then did Satan? And this was a late thought that came to me that says, and he said to the woman, he approached the woman, he directed the conversation to her. Did God actually say? Now, I'm not saying it said this, but I'm saying we could be. Why did he choose a woman? After all, Eve, you weren't there, were you? You got your information secondhand. You got your information from Adam. Not that Adam gave her wrong information, don't misunderstand, but just to plant that seed of doubt, to start working that wedge in. Did God actually say? Now, some of our Jewish rabbis that I've mentioned, this Aish, AISH.com, this site, they, at least one of them, uses a Hebrew translation for that. And he says it this way: did God only say that you shouldn't do this? Did God only say? And the point that he makes is, but well, that's okay, well, but God said that. But what do you feel? What do you feel is the truth? What do you feel that you should do? Now, it's pretty relevant to our times, too. Again, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you can take the words and start playing with the words, and that's what Satan did. Did God really say? Well, yes, he said. If someone told you, said, would you go open that door and then close it? That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And someone come up to you, did that person really tell you to go open that door and close it? And it was as basic, there's the tree, don't eat from that tree. But we're going to see what happens when we give Satan an ear, when we go away, when all the questions that can be brought up can overwhelm us and we forget the objective line of obedience. What should they never have strayed from in all of the discussion? God said, don't eat from that tree. What did they end up doing? They ate from that tree. Whatever happened, it broke down. And we're going to look at that more. We must always obey God's clearly stated truth. We must never allow the devil to obscure clearly stated truth with unanswered or unanswerable questions. Now see, sometimes we get set on our heels because someone comes up and they want to throw a question on us because they don't figure that we can answer it. And maybe they've even had this question and they've thrown other people off. Maybe it's not answered in the Bible. Maybe we could answer it. Maybe it's unanswerable. But we can get thrown back on our heels. And we can be confused, and we can start taking on their responsibility for ours. If you follow I know what I'm responsible for. And that person is trying to, they're trying to get out from under the judgment of God in the big realm of things. And this is what one of my commentators brings up. He says, this is one of the issues, and we still have today, that people don't want to face the judgment of God. And we'll deny it, and we'll spin stories. It'll be undeniable one day. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. For unbelievers, there is a great white throne judgment. It will be undeniable one day, but for now we spin it, we twist it, we distort it. We come up with all these questions. Well, how could God do this? And why is this? And why is that? I'm not even saying that some of those questions aren't very important. What I'm saying is those things should never misdirect us from the truth in front of our nose that God is telling us to obey, that is so clear there is no mistake. But we wouldn't do a thing like that like Adam and Eve did, would we? What, more than 10 or 12 times a day? It's a human problem. It's a fallen human being problem. It's a problem of humanity. We're going to look at in the next few weeks various things, but one of those is the depravity of man. We're not going to get into that a lot today. But this is one of the conditions of fallen humanity. That we like complicating things. We have that expression, well, it's complicated. And life is complicated, and there are things that are complicated. But Satan brought this complication in. It got convoluted, but it never should have gotten there. Because the instruction was very clear. We could have questions. Why would God allow that to happen? All of these things, but that, it's like stay to the task. Stay with what God is directing us to. We have a wonderful lesson in this text of all the misdirection that our minds can go, that the enemy, the philosophies of this world, and they can try to string us here and there and get us just all apart. Never forget the objective truth, the line of obedience that God is calling us to. That approach at times, all the questions and the trying to cause us to reason things that God hasn't given an answer to. Oftentimes it's given as quite an intellectual pursuit, but it's not. It will fail. It has a bad foundation. Your best foundation for even your intellectual pursuit of the truth of God's word is a life of love and obedience. Is a life of love and obedience. We can see that from this text. What was the intellectually, not just the logically, the biblically, what they were told to do? To not eat from that tree. All the other trees of the garden you may eat, don't eat from that tree. That was undermined, and it was a matter of the will. We must never allow the devil to undermine the goodness of God with unanswered or unanswerable questions. And you've had this. You've probably had someone tell you, well, how could God allow that van crash with those children in there? How could God allow that tsunami? How could God, and 500 people, how could God? All those are deflections, folks. Let me back off of that. Not all of them. Sometimes people really, we do really wonder those things. Where it gets to be a deflection is when we are going to use it as a wedge to oppose God. See, it really does get down to these basic things like it was in Genesis. Are we going to hear God and obey Him, or are we going to rebel and disobey him? Yes, life is complicated, but it's not as complicated as we make it. We can bring in all of these other things and have a convoluted mess, but we know things, especially if you're a believer, that God wants you to do. Are we doing those things? Satan undermined the goodness of God back in chapter 3. Now see, first, he asked Eve to clarify, the woman, I should say, because she's not called Eve yet. The woman to clarify, and then he's going to outright dispute God. The woman said, "Shall not eat, etc., lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." You won't die. What's he saying? God's holding out on you. Well, God's lying. God's holding out on you. For God knows. This is very important to understand, because you will have things going on in your life and you're thinking, "But I believe in the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him." And yet something happens and it seems like God is mean, maybe even cruel, maybe even capricious. How could God be? Never doubt God's goodness. You don't have to understand your pain. You don't have to have an answer for your agony. What you do have, you've clearly written in the Word of God, is that God is what? Good. And as they say, he's good all the time. Whether we are feeling it at the time or whether we understand that, that is not the issue. Will we believe God? He undermines the goodness of God. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. For whatever other questions you want to get, what does that mean? Because they had to have some semblance of good and evil to make the choice, didn't they? So what does that mean? They're, you know, completely, even with the text that we got, their eyes were open, they saw they were naked. We still don't have all of those answers. But that's what I'm saying. That's not the issue, having all of those answers. The issue, God said, don't eat from that tree. You see how God breaks it down for us? It's right here. It's right here. We must never allow the devil to undermine the goodness of God with unanswered or unanswerable questions. We must choose God over humans. We must choose God over humans. Okay, verse 6. So that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Sorry, get my glasses adjusted here. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Now we'll stop right there. Now we'll go back to the Genesis 2:9 verse. It says here, okay, the woman saw the tree was good for food and a delight to the eyes. Well, what's chapter 2, verse 9 tell us? Out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Was the beauty of the tree ever in question? No. That it was good for, did God say, don't eat that fruit, it's not good? Did he say, don't eat fruit from that ugly tree? Did he say that don't eat because you'll be so wise and understanding? Don't eat. Did he give any reason except that if you eat it, you'll die? Did God give any reason in his prohibition except if you eat it, you'll die? But now look at the place where Eve has come to. Look at the place where Eve has come to. I'm talking about intellectual soundness here too now then. Oh, this tree's beautiful. Yeah. When God finished, he said it was good. And when he finished, he said it was all very good. Of course the tree was beautiful. Oh, and the fruit is good to eat. Hello? Where's your mind, Eve? Well, her mind has already been misdirected. Now there's a different agenda. There has never been an opposing agenda, an opposing human agenda before. But now there is. Now there's it's formulating an agenda other than God's agenda. The rebellion is almost there. So what is she going to do? She's going to see things as she desires to see them. Tree's beautiful. It's good for food. It's going to make me wise. So she took some and ate. Into verse 7, 6 rather. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Why did he do that? Now see, what's interesting is later in this text and then in the New Testament, the Bible tells us the serpent deceived the woman. Did the serpent deceive the man? No. The Bible tells us Adam was not deceived. It says that you've got verses on your study sheet, very, very powerful verses, by the way. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Let's just take him at the back, this one here with the tree. Genesis 2:17. No. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I really wanted to put more of that context in there, but it brought up the gospel and the other ideas for the gospel, etc. 1 Timothy 2:11 to 14, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Now, what that is saying, now what we will say is we'll want to go back and revise history, and they'll go back and they'll call Paul, said Paul hated women, and so we've got to change that now. We've got to bring the Bible up to date. But see, the thing of a woman not having authority over man, in fact, it started even before the fall. There was an order. And the order, even before the fall, was God, humanity, and the creatures. Okay? And in that, it was God. It was the man. Wasn't called Adam yet. It was the woman. Wasn't called Eve yet. And the creatures. Now, as one person pointed out, that order was reversed when the serpent came and spoke with Eve. Said the serpent talked, and then Eve talked, but you never heard God talking. You never heard God in the conversation. And you folks may remember me saying back when the serpent approached Eve and said, did God really say? And I say, there's our first Bible study. Except for the only person who's not there is God. Another person said that the serpent led, and Eve followed the serpent, and Adam followed Eve. Now, ladies, so many brilliant women. In fact, I had it, because people say, well, why are only men in leadership? Why are only men elders? Why are only men to be pastors? And I know some churches don't believe that, but it's pretty clearly written in God's Word. Why are those things? You know, I can't really tell you why. Because I wouldn't really go to this Genesis text and say, well, look, women are inferior to men. That is just not true. In fact, I had a church, and I won't say which one. I don't think it really matters, but I won't say which one. But I had two women, Jean and Marjorie. Two older women, sound in the Lord, faithful. I would have taken those two women over my entire board. If God's word would allow it, I would have taken it in a heartbeat, but that isn't God's plan. We got the answer to that? No, I can't explain all that to you. I'm just saying what I can explain is what God tells us to obey. And here it is pretty well written in Scripture. But it tells us Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So what is going on with Adam? Why would he do this? Well, if you remember, I said we don't stand a chance against the schemes of the devil. So let's just build in our mind. You remember Adam went through, God brought all the animals to Adam. Well, God had said, you know, it isn't good for man to be alone. And God had said in previous chapter to make a helper fit for him. This is again part of the structure before the fall that the woman was made from the man and the woman was made for the man. Ladies, I'm not trying to get you upset. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? And They had the structure, and Adam and God brought the animals to Adam, and Adam's naming all the animals. But also something is going on too, which it's real easy to miss if we're not paying attention, but Adam's looking for somebody that he can really connect with, as we say. Got all these amazing creatures. Anybody here like dogs? Probably no one here likes dogs. I don't like dogs myself. Yeah, we all know that's a big lie, right? Maggie's the queen of the house. But all of these beautiful creatures, and Adam's naming them. He's not some cave dwelling. He's more intelligent than we are. He is altogether more than we would ever be. This perfect. He's God's creation. You think God didn't do it right? You think God stumbled out of the gate? No, beautiful creation, Adam. And he's going through, but he didn't find just the right one. And we can say, well, it's the animal kingdom. But then, but that process did go on. But then God, he said, I need to make a helper fit for the man. And he took his rib out and he formed Eve. Now, I won't embarrass anybody today, but I can say I love that woman over there. And in June we will have celebrated. It seems like you just barely got married now after the 62 and 56 year thing, but 44 years in June. And you know, one of the things I appreciate most is that connectedness we have, the path, our prayer times together, God bringing us here, focusing our minds more and more together, common goal, common mission. Can you imagine the connectedness, the love that Adam and Eve had for one? There wasn't we talk now about the drama, and we talk about, oh man, they got all kinds of baggage. None of that was there. And I talked just a little bit last week, but let's review again. When God made Adam, God put Adam to sleep, and he made Eve, and then he brought Eve and presented her to Adam. Guys, can you, women, not just guys, I mean guys, men and women, can you? Wow. You know how the cartoons in their eyes are bugging out and bouncing back and forth? Adam chose the love of his life over God. Adam wasn't deceived. He willfully disobeyed. It's right there in our text. See, we might dispute, well, Adam was deceived too. Nope. It tells us really clear. And it tells us multiple times that Eve was deceived. Because, see, we could say, Adam and Eve, how could you do this to us? This world we're in now with cancers and with tragedy and all of these things, how could you? You can understand, can't you? They had a perfect world. They didn't have, please qualify this when I say they didn't have a chance to us. God did not put them in an unfair situation and said, aha, I've got you. But from our perspective, utopia, paradise, perfect health, perfect get union with one another, and the most crafty creature of all, we'll see later that the devil used that creature to deceive her. Adam stood there and watched. I said he was right there. She took some and ate the fruit. I can't say, it doesn't say Adam loved Eve more than she loved God. But I think we can bring some deductions pretty well in hand. What we do know is that he chose the human. And there's a lesson for us also that sometimes our most difficult choices are on a personal, relational level, that we will allow truth to be distorted because we don't want to lose that relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a relationship in church, wherever that relationship might be, that our love of the person, our love of status and or position, whatever that might be. that we can be tempted. We can be tempted to choose the human over the God. And we've seen it happen. It's like just the word, I'm sorry, but this is the direction. This is my family, or this is my, or my brothers and sisters, or this is, and whatever it is, and we choose, and it's clear, and we choose the human over the divine. Frank Sinatra had a song, you may have heard it, My Way. And I read, and I don't know whose funeral, it could have been his. I wish I didn't copy that. I didn't save it in one of my note-taking apps. But there was a funeral, and at the funeral, they sang Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. And we've been doing that. And even as believers, we struggle with that. We're going to do it our way. And we're not going to believe God as we should. And we're going to disobey God in that process. And then sometimes we're going to wonder why. See, the life is going to happen to us. There's going to be good things. There's going to be really bad things. There's going to be tragedy. That's going to happen to all of us. Life is going to blunt force hit us. But are we going to allow it, the world, to take the peace that Jesus said he gave that the world cannot take? Are we going to allow the world to take our joy, our hope? What is our joy and our hope then if the circumstances of this world can take it away? What is our walk with God? In Proverbs 1:29, in the New Living Translation, I'm going to read that. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They reject, this is speaking of wisdom, they reject wisdom personified. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. And folks, we see that lesson. Adam and Eve brought that, the fruit wasn't bitter, but they brought that bitter way into our world. And it's bitter. We can eat it. We can eat it. I'm going to do it my way. You know, what's that one country song? It's too good to be wrong. I shouldn't have thrown that out there. It feels too good. Never mind. You scratch that. You didn't hear that. Chuck probably knows. Sorry about that. But it says, they eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. In Deuteronomy 29:18, it says, beware lest be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. What does that fruit come? From living our own way, folks, from having our own agenda opposed to God's agenda. I am going to do this, hell or high water. And it bitter fruit comes in your life and shows itself, and it springs up among the fellowship. And in Hebrews 12, verse 15, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. They ate this fruit, and they ate the bitterness of that way. Next week, we're going to look as we continue into this. By the way, you want to read this very... You might already read it while I was preaching. It's really good. I wouldn't hardly blame you. This is an article. I know I've encouraged you to check out that Aish.com, but excellent article there by Rabbi Lehman, I think. He is his, yeah. Burnham. Libby Burnham. And we'll step into more and more of that, this process. But the whole thing that we come back to is God offered them life. And Satan came through the serpent and offered them, quote unquote, a better life. Would you agree? We can break it down like God offered life. They said, here's a better way. And the process continues to this day. And there's bitter, poisonous fruit that contaminates our lives and brings rottenness and brings an inability to see the truth of God, an inability to embrace the promises and the joy and the comfort and the peace of his word.